हरि ओ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 33. Well, we got some printed?
No,
Xerox. Oh, I see. These are the Xerox. I was thinking, wow, okay. That's the old one. Oh, so you're just using it for notes. Oh, okay. I was thinking, wow, everyone's got something. They're all using old ones. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, if a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada comments, when, in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud, this means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So if it's coming by Krishna's grace, then there's no pride. Right? That's the principle. But that means it's connected to the Lord. He knows it's coming by the Lord's grace. Yes?
Yes, similarly, generally we see this aspect. Somebody who is rich from generations together, and then they maintain that aspect, and they're not so proud of.
No, there has to be less pride. Because generally you attribute pride to those who it's newly acquired, right? But those who it's been like that, then generally not. But also we see here, so there'll be some piety there, so they're able to maintain. But the point is to have all these things in it, for it to be continuous, then that means it's by the Lord's grace. So one is either the Lord's grace because of piety, or the Lord's grace because of devotional service. Now the devotional service, that can be much greater and last much longer. So basically speaking, in reality, it'll be because of the Lord's grace. So who knows what, you know, even if you see in the West, families are generated, who knows who they were before? You know, because you don't know. Like that. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what is this in connection to? This is a connection to, we've already established the Lord's mercy in him taking everything away, right? So now we're going to that next step, that he gives everything and there's no pride, and one's able to always be remembering the Lord and absorbed in the Lord. That means then that's by the Lord's mercy. So the first stage is everything goes, and then the next stage is then the devotee can have this facility and he doesn't become distracted. Right? So that means he's not looking for that facility, but since it's there, he engages it. Does that make sense? Says here, especially favored. So he's favored when he takes everything away. He's especially favored when it's given back. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. That's just the mercy. Right? The special mercy is then this. If one continues in his opulent position but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy. Right? Because to lose things, then to surrender to the Lord, that's important. Right? The demigods all do that. That's the meaning of Sura. But to have facility where everybody then becomes, as I mentioned before, like madmen, right? So then, but one maintains his Krishna consciousness and doesn't become proud. Now that's the special mercy of the Lord, right? Because everybody's looking for this material facility, and one has that and doesn't get distracted from devotional service. That's the special mercy, right? Because that's the position on which the Lord and his devotees are all there. Yes.
Priyavrata Maharaj, Guru Maharaj are the examples of the special mercy. They never forgot.
Yes, yes, never forgot. So you see anybody like Yudhishthira Maharaj doesn't forget like this. So that's the position, that Sudama Vipra. So there's many examples where things are taken away, but the point is those devotees that there's generally the example is taken away are the ones that when they're given everything, then they also maintain their Krishna consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? If one is inclined towards these material things, then they become an impediment because one gets disturbed by pride and, what do you say? Pride and false prestige. Because the false prestige is we think it's mine, when it actually is not, it's Krishna's. Right? And then pride because we, you know, feel we are very great. So those are always going to be impediments in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada comments. Devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, who was given unlimited material opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Kuvera wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction, but although Dhruva Maharaj could have asked him for any amount of material opulence, he instead begged Kuvera that he might continue his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is fixed in his devotional service, there's no need for the Lord to deprive him of his material opulences, right? Because the whole point of the Lord showing his mercy by depriving him of his opulence is only because of the false prestige and distraction from Krishna consciousness. So if one is always Krishna conscious, what's the need to remove it? That's the whole point. So we see also the example of Sanatana Goswami. That person came to him and he was talking about wealth and all that. He told them about in the garbage pile that there was the Chintamani stone. So he took it, he was very happy and all that, and then it struck him is that if he keeps this in the garbage, what does he consider valuable? So he came back, asked about, you know, what's valuable. He gave him the holy name, and then he took that up and forgot about the Chintamani stone. So I guess it's back in the garbage or something like that. So it's not an uncommon. You can see in the Hari Das line, Hari Das, then, you know, in Banki Bihari, that line. I think they're Nimbarkas. I'm not sure. But there, and then Nimbarka. I think it was, I'm not sure if it wasn't Akbar himself came, because he heard, he had taught Tan Sen music. He was one of his students. And then when he came up to the point where he's finished his you know, his studies up to a good point, he asked him, I'm not sure what he asked him exactly, but it was basically between, you know, just living that life that they were living in Vrindavan as devotees, or does he want fame? So he mentioned fame. So he says, go in and sing for Akbar in Delhi. So he went down there, he sung something, and he immediately became Akbar's, you know, main musician. So Akbar had one Hindu, Tan Sen, and 30 Muslim musicians. So they were the best. But he was so much better that, you know, though the policy was no only Muslims, they had to have him because he was better. And then there was so much rivalry, this, that, blah. So he was one day discussing and saying how he's the greatest and he's that. And Haridas says, no, my teacher's better than me. So then he wanted to hear, but he says, no, he stays in Vrindavan. He's not going to come here. He doesn't sing for, you know, materialists. So then they devised a plan. I think he went there and he dressed up as, you know, just ordinary person or something like that. And he came with them, and then he was sat down, Tan Sen sat down, and Haridas said, you know, sing this or sing that. And he was singing, but then he'd make a mistake, but on purpose. So then the guru said, no, it's sung like this. And the Nakbar was impressed. And then afterwards, then he gave him a necklace like that. He wanted to give him this necklace that he thought he was so impressed, like this and that. And he just took the necklace and tossed it into the pukur. You know, the steps that just tossed it. And Akbar saying, that's like, you know, priceless. How could you do that? And then he told one of his boys, he says, fish it out for him. You know? So then the brahmachari goes over to the pond, takes a stick, starts digging around and pulling out, you know, so many of them like that. And then after a while he says, I'm not sure which one it is. Can he identify what, you know, like that, you know? So they were just showing him that, you know, all this material opulence, is that this is nothing. Vrindavan is already this opulence. He says, no, but I want to do something for you. He said, okay, then on the step there, there's this little corner, it's chipped, so it's a problem when you go down to the pukur. He's saying, you know, I'm the emperor of India, and you only want to fix the chip. He says, well, you know, look at it. So he went down, and then going there, then he revealed, you know, that aspect of Chintamani and all that, and then he understood the opulence of Vrindavan's way beyond him, so he just offered his respects and left. So we see is that this principle there is in all the lines. It's just that's the Vaishnav principle, is that whatever the line, they're not attached to material opulence. They may have it, there's no need for it. Right? They use it in Krishna's service if they're in the Grihastha ashram or there's things to do, but otherwise there's no interest for them.
So, it has been seen that when the opulence has been, you know, taken back by Krishna, when some devotees, you know, they're so much in a shock that they leave Krishna consciousness in the world.
Yes, but then they want to leave. So Krishna gives them the chance. Prabhupada mentions, especially like in the Dham, people want to create problems or create, you know, disturbance in devotional service. So they get the opportunity to come here, because here you can create so much more than you can in the West. Outside of the Dham, in India there's a little bit of life. Outside of that, there's hardly any energy. You know, unless you're in like New York or something, you know, 20 million people, there's a little energy there. But otherwise, it's really dead. So what you can do, you make some trouble, it's only worth one day of trouble. You make trouble here, it's worth 1,000 days of trouble. That's over 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So very quickly the person then can get distracted from Krishna consciousness or go to hell or whatever it is they want. So therefore you have to also look at the adhikara of the person involved. Why is Balimars glorified? Because of his qualification. Oh, Krishna did that and then they left, so he shouldn't do that. But the point is why should they leave? What will they get outside? He'll get more opulence outside? Like that. Maya's not going to take stuff away from you? Like that. You know, it's one thing if only devotees are poor and outside, then everybody is, you know, doing really well. You know, everybody in the world is, you know, the bottom line's upper middle class. That's just that. And then there's some, you know, rich guys like that. You know, then yes, I could see that. You know, just like, oh, I come here, I'm getting sick. It was funny. I when I came to India, I forget ever how many years it was, but it was a long time. 5-6 years where I figured out that the diarrhea medicine that they had in the pharmacies weren't just for Westerners. I always thought that they just carried it just for us because no one else got sick. But, you know, it's like, oh, I'm having so much problem in Krishna consciousness. Why, no one else is having problem? No one else is in hospitals. Only devotees are in hospitals. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is the material energy is going to do that. There's just lack of faith. So the point, if people want that, Krishna will give them. But that. It's that way. Okay? Yeah. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulence achieved because of devotional service, although he sometimes takes away opulence achieved by pious activities. Footnote 11. Some say that this, however, is not a fixed rule for the Lord, who is skillful at increasing the prema of his devotee. Some give the example of the Lord taking away the wealth to the Pandavas. Sardartha Darshani, 8:22-27. So it's not a fixed rule, but that's just general. This is what he's saying. That's the general, but occasionally he'll do. Yes.
How can you distinguish then between wealth that was acquired by piety and wealth that was acquired by devotional service?
It doesn't really matter as long as you increase in devotional service.
No, because it's mentioned here, that's right.
But it's not a fixed rule for the Lord who is skillful at increasing the prema of his devotee. So therefore, you see, if he does that and the person goes away, it means they wanted to go away. You understand? Because otherwise, losing wealth means that's why you join Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, by going away, that's what I'm saying, by going away, will there be no loss of wealth outside? But the point is then who will you take shelter of? The idea is you take shelter of the Lord, then he moves forward. But if we don't take shelter of the Lord, how will the material energy or anyone within the world give you anything? So it's not actually a good option. Right? But Krishna is very expert, so he'll never push anyone. Maya never pushes anyone beyond what they can handle. Right? She's one quarter of the cosmic manifestation, so one quarter of unlimited. She wanted to push you over the edge. She could do it easily, but she just takes you up to the edge. You want to jump over the edge, that's up to you, but she never pushes you over the edge. You know, we'll say, oh, well, this is too much, but we decide. You understand?
She helps.
We help because we hold on to those material attachments. She just helps us.
We can't even blame her. We are to be blamed.
Yes. But it's not that she doesn't help, but the point is
she helps.
She helps, but she only helps what we're interested in.
Those who help themselves.
Yes, Maya helps those who help themselves. Yes.
And the wealth that has been acquired by piety, then a person comes to Krishna consciousness, and then he acquires wealth. So whatever was the previous wealth before coming to Krishna consciousness, will that not be purified and get converted into that?
Not necessarily. It's just whatever works. Point is if there's no pride, it's simple. If there's no pride, there's no reason for it to go. And if there is pride, then what's the reason for it to stay? Right? Just let's say one has an attachment to a certain kind of food, and by eating that food, though you like it, it makes you sick. So what's the doctor going to do? Tell you not to eat that food. You know what I'm saying? So you can blame the doctor, you can this and that, but the point is it makes you sick. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point is, don't worry about how, it means in other words, how can we keep these opulences like that? Because by piety we perform our activity, by performing that activity nicely we get a result. But the point is that the mood of devotion, if that's there, that doesn't need to go. But if it's simply we're focusing on the activity and getting the results, though Krishna's involved in it, then that may or may not stay. Yeah. He does this to make a devotee prideless or to put him in a better position in devotional service. So either remove the pride, then one can move forward, or he puts him in a better position in devotional service. So you lose one thing and get another. I can remember one time there was a temple president. He was doing actually a quite good job, but there was some other devotee who was very, very critical. You know, also, you know, qualified to manage and stuff, but very critical of this other person. And saying that, you know, he's done this, that, he shouldn't be president, and this and that. So Prabhupada said, okay. He took that one devotee out as the president, made the other one who was talking so much, made him the president, because now you have to do it. And then he gave him a position as a president and even another temple that was even bigger. You know. So, like that. It goes on. You lose something, but then you get more.
Said that Tamakrishna Maharaj removed him 11 times and as a president, and Prabhupada reinstated him 11 times.
Who? Jayapataka?
Tamakrishna Maharaj removed him that many times and
Calcutta? Yeah.
And Prabhupada reinstated him 11 times.
Yeah, yeah. transcendental, what do you call it, ping pong? Yeah. Yes, so you can. So in other words, if Tamal Krishna Mars can't remove him, there's no one that can remove him.
He's still.
Yeah, that's the whole point. In other words, one should learn from the example of the great personalities. If a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life and material opulences to take to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus, the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. Right? So in doing that, they're stuck in one, but he'll move him forward. Right? So that's the... That's, yes?
It's also a time factor, which is very important. We see... example of Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to preach, but whatever time was there, it didn't happen.
Yes.
You know, on the big scale. But then when the time was right, then it all happened.
Yes.
Like 11 years.
Yes.
And it was...
Yes, yes. But what also is here is that he's in family life, they're not wanting to move forward in Krishna consciousness, they're not interested in helping Krishna consciousness, but he's dutiful, he's trying to do his duty, so then Krishna arranged that it just all... went, and then he went into things, and then he was able to do more. You know, like you said, the League of Devotees, that didn't work, and then going on, then it works. Yeah. So time factor always has to be considered. So that's why if we're trying to do something for Krishna and it's not working, then it's just time. Just like Bali Maharaj, he knew it was the wrong time. Therefore, the demon shouldn't bother trying to fight, because it's not going to work. Sukracharya has pronounced his curse. That's going to take effect. Therefore, if they fight, it still won't work. But time factors Krishna. That was, I think, the discussion, the previous chapter.
Yesterday evening. We discussed the name of this.
Yesterday evening. So that was previous chapter. Yeah, yeah. So then the time is all. So that's why we do something and depend upon the Lord. And then when it's supposed to happen, then, but what happened then was, you know, so much greater. Right? Because he had opened one place, it was kind of going and all that, and then that didn't quite work out. And then he has, you know, others, you know, God brothers, they're doing something here and there, and they have a little something that. And then over so long, things are happening. But then he goes, like you said, in 11 years, then so much is established. So that's you know, Krishna gives so much more than what would be expected. But it'll come when the time is right.
So we're just waiting for that time.
Yes, but we continue to do our service. I think there's a verse like that where, about the devotee. He just depends on the Lord and just is waiting for the Lord.
Yeah, it's a famous verse.
Yes, a famous. I think it's one of those. I think first canto or something.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's a. He just does his service to please the Lord. Whenever the result will come, that will come when Krishna wants. Okay. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers, for in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Siddhan napi na muhyati. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments. Lord Brahma said, "Well, let that be, but what type of mercy of yours did Bali, your devotee, receive when you took away his wealth?" Vamanadeva responds, "He has conquered Maya. I do not say will conquer or is conquering. He has already conquered Maya previously. What is the question of him having arrogance or disrespect caused by Maya? In order to destroy Maya, I take away wealth and power. Even bereft of wealth, he is not bewildered. It is seen that people who are bewildered by wealth become greatly disturbed and bewildered the moment that disaster strikes." Right. So here it means they're bewildered by wealth. So therefore, when it goes, then that means I do good, I should get good. And so then if good goes away, that means this can't be good. So then they go looking for another process. So they weren't actually looking for Krishna, they're just looking for wealth. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the point. So it's all right to start there, but one has to progress. right, to come to Krishna consciousness because of need for wealth. That's all right, but it should be they progress, because if they don't, then you'll see the tendency is that the first three, if they don't change the mentality, go away. Artha, artharthi, and jigyasa, they'll go away. But jnani, they'll stay, because they'll move on to madhyama. So that's why it says, of those, you get to the jnani, and then from there, move on to the madhyama platform. Because jnani means he wants to know the Lord. Jigyasu means he's interested in God consciousness. It's not that he wants to know the Lord, he just is interested in information about the Lord. Sorry?
Database. Interesting. So it's a database kind
of. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Srila Prabhupada adds, in this verse, the words siddhan, napi, na, muhyanti are very important. Now, just as a note, that in case we're thinking, oh, why are we being so strong on this point? Because we're in eighth canto. For those who have that attachment, are trying to engage, that's what the earlier cantos are for. How to do that. Right? But the point is now we're dealing very strongly with that sarvadharma paritya-ja. So that means when that pressure is there, surrender. If we don't, then that means, that, as I said, the time wasn't right. It means the sukriti is there, it'll never go away, because they're not being offensive with that, they're just disappointed. So later, again, that will come, that association of devotees will come up, and they'll take up things very nicely. Or they'll end up here instead of with Balimars, they'll end up with Indra and those wallas. So they'll have the facility, they'll be devotees, but they'll, at the same time they're attached to it and they're proud of it.
Right. I'm just thinking that in this story, the Lord is, you know, he's very strong with Balimars. He's
Yes.
You know, it's like a punishment.
Yes. But that's, he's showing that, see, if someone could say, be favorable to the Lord if they feel what's happening to them is just. But this is obviously not just. And he still is favorable. That's his glory. So he's showing that under any condition, the devotee is favorable. And so that's why it's such a special thing, and only he could do that. You know, that's the point. That's why Vamanadeva, he's also very strongly boldly saying, he has conquered Maya, not will conquer or is conquering. He says he has already conquered. So the strongness on points is also going all the way. So therefore he's, you know, in this example is you know, very special.
Maharaj,
yes?
Can you say that the example of Pali Maharaj, when the Lord is unjust, but still, you know, he is favorable, you know, in his devotional service. So it represents Lord Chaitanya's last verse of Shikshashtakam, Ashlishyapa Padra.
Yes, you could. I mean, yes. The Supreme Person... Oh, no. Srila Prabhupada adds, in this... Did we read this? In this verse, the words siddhan napi na muhyati are very important. A devotee is sometimes put into adversity while executing devotional service. In adversity, everyone laments and becomes aggrieved. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee, even in the worst condition, can understand that he is going through a severe examination by the Personality of Godhead. Balimars passed all such examinations as explained in the following verses. Yes. So, yes. He passed. Wrong lap. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Balimars, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Right? So now all this shows the principle of devotional service. This is devotional service. So then trying to, in other words, we do our best to do everything nice and all that and make it comfortable. But to go against this principle, then that's not actually valuable in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So this modern kind of approach where nothing can be strong, can't say anything, can't do anything, anything that nobody likes, but then we're taking it just people being happy with it, that's perfection, rather than people being Krishna conscious. Right? So that's not going to actually solve any problem. The example is given in the Veda of having a boil and then blowing on it to make it better. Right? Does that make sense? It won't do anything like that. So that's the whole point. Sometimes then to solve a problem it's difficult. The boil is going to hurt. So but in doing that one gets better. Yes. Yes.
You also see in the Bhagavatam that the Lord he deals with his devotees according to their level of advancement.
Yes. Yes.
He's pretty strong because he understands, you know, Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
Anyway, he already at the Madhyama and then he wants to bring him a Uttama platform. And
yes.
It all happens.
Yes.
But with somebody else, not necessarily.
No, it's lighter. But we see how many others up to now he has given himself and now he'll become the doorman. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that he made Sutala the opulence. So that opulence that is there is actually spiritual opulence. Then he goes himself and then takes care of Bali Maharaj, and Sudarshan Chakra will protect him, so no one can come and bother him there. So even though he's on Sutala, which is the lower planet, his position is more opulent than the heavenly planets and more protected than any place in the universe, you know, other than Dhruva Loka. Like that. So he won't get a better situation. So that's because that surrender, so the Lord gives himself. However that devotee reciprocates, deals, then he reciprocates. Yeah, so we see that now we're introducing very much the element of Krishna as Bhagavan, right? Before this, we're seeing basically Krishna as Paramatma, or as God. Now we're seeing him as Bhagavan. You know, how he is a person, he reciprocates, he interacts. Like that. Of course, before, as Bhagavan, he was interacting and dealing, but it was generally always because he's the greatest, he's the supreme, and everything like that.
Because we see in the tenth canto, he applies even more pressure on his very, you know, dear devotees.
Yes. Yeah, and the dearest and his only pressure.
Non-stop.
And then as a solution, then what we discussed before is that he's in everything, he's, you know, everywhere, and everything is him and non-different from him. Like that. That's the solution, because then they can see him everywhere. Because they'll always see him as Bhagavan, so them using this technique, they'll only see Bhagavan. We use the technique, and, you know, on a good day we'll see Brahman or Paramatma. Like that. So it's... Yes, but we see is that of all the different things, means he comes as his devotee, of that devotee who then these principles are the strongest. That's what's unique, that's what's special.
Canto 7 begins, right, with the Bhagavan aspect, Narasimhadeva.
Yes, means he's always there before, but now it's being brought to the front. So pure devotional service without the element of being mixed. Before that, there may be mixed devotional service, but because it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. And we get the example of those who are not performing devotional service, but are in the same situations. So in other words, we can be confident that we can be in our position performing our duties and move from the position of attachment to the position of perfection. Like that. But now we see with Prahlad Maharaj, it's not about the details and what you're doing. In fact, they're never even discussed, the details. Like that. Those were all discussed before. So now it's just about that pure devotional service. We even see the prayers here are very short. Right? Previously the prayers are quite long. So they're quite short here. You know, because it's more about the way the Lord's dealing and interacting, rather than just he's great, he's special, and all this. So it sticks more with the pastime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Bhagavatamrita is also giving an example that the Vrajavasis, their hearts are like diamonds. They can take the highest pressure.
Interesting. Yeah. So I guess pumice is overrated. I said pumice is overrated. In both ways, whether it's a stone or whether it's all pumice, you know, that there's a kind of stone. It looks like a sponge, and it'll float.
Yeah.
You know, you use it to scrape the bottom of your feet. That's pumice. It's a stone, but it's you know, it's really soft. You stomp on it, it'll break. And stuff like that. Yeah. And also when you, after you squeeze the olive oil, and there's nothing left except skin and seeds, and then you squeeze it again. Then that gets pumice, because pumice means stone. So that olive oil has zero fragrance and taste.
Just the name.
Yeah, it just has a name. You know, they use it for like deep frying and stuff like that. That's yeah. That. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his... Oh, didn't we just read this? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, even though I have thrown him into an ocean of danger, he is not bewildered. It goes without saying that he will not give up his convictions. I spoke about Dharma deceptively. At first... Dharma deceptively, dar made deceptively. Okay. At first, I spoke falsely of adharmas, as if it were dharma. With such words as the following, I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmins, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:19.3. Then I spoke of dharma as if it were our dharma. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise, right? But he was doing it out of dharma, is that he's promised he will try his best. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:21-34. Still, he did not give up truth. Right, so he's speaking adharma as dharma and dharma as adharma. In either way, he stuck to the truth, what was proper. In such circumstances, others would be untruthful, according to the maxim, when cheated, cheat. This is how you say? Yes. Though affectionate to my devotee, I have caused him this trouble in order to show the world his fixed devotion and fortitude. Right? So that's the whole point. It's no matter what, he's fixed. So that's what this pastime's about. Right? So that's why this point is that someone goes away. It's unfortunate, it's sad, but the point is they should be following more like Balimars, at least have that determination, because whatever happens to them is not as bad as this. Right. Yes.
Also, in this pastime, it's interesting that Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they don't have any kind of support. They're basically on their own, but still very strong.
Yes, yes, true. Yeah, it's not like they're surrounded by so many devotees.
Yeah,
stuff.
Even the spiritual master doesn't give him any support.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, they're special. So Prahlad Maharaj is considered the main example, and then Bali Maharaj being his technically disciple then has that same position. Yeah. Oh, that's a very, very good point. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Savarani. Right, so that answers our question before, as if the name was connected with the position.
Yeah.
Like that, because his name is Bali, but he'll be the Savarani Manu.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
He'll be Indra.
Yeah, he'll be Indra. Excuse me, Indra. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. So this is only on Indra, not on doesn't prove that point. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. What to do?
It sounded good.
Yeah, it did. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Footnote 12. It should be understood that Sutala became like the palace that Krishna gave to Sudama Vipra. Sardar Darshani 8:22-31. So that meant it was so wonderful in all the descriptions that are there, that's what his place would have been like. And it was greater than Indra's opulence. Because we saw before, it pointed out the great opulence, and then how Bali Maharaj walked in, and the demigods got kicked out. Like that. So that's the thing. Even you have so much facility, you lose it sometimes. Right? So Bali Maharaj, it was to prove his, what he says? Fixed in devotion and fortitude. But for the demigods, it was because of their pride. Right? He was fixed in the service to his spiritual master. They were proud. Therefore, they lost it. He gained it. But now to show his devotion and fortitude, he loses it. But how he loses it, then he's fixed in devotion. While even on the demigods, you saw that when Brihaspati indirectly mentioned to them how they could maintain their position, they didn't take it. Right? They did like that.
Yeah, I was also thinking on this point, because, you know, they have a tinge of passion. So yes. they were not deep enough on that point, because he hinted, but they just continued with their, you know, they were just agitated.
Yeah, they were just thinking how to get it back, so then, you know, hide for a while, then we'll get it back. You know, so it worked. Yeah. So they did follow the instruction, but they could have respected him and worshipped him like the Bali Maharaj was Sukracharya, and then they would have been on equal footing, or even, you know. Yeah, that's the point Bhava was making in the Krishna book, is that the devotee is attracted to the mode of goodness, and he's not attracted by passion and ignorance. Right? So we'll be thinking, oh, he's attracted to goodness, but that's mundane, as opposed to passion and ignorance. But remember, the material mode of goodness means there's some passion and ignorance in it. So if you're attracted to the mode of goodness without any attraction for mode of passion or ignorance, what mode are you attracted to?
Shuddha-sattva.
So that's the point, is that they start from there, and then by their neglect of passion and ignorance, they come to the point of Vishuddha-sattva. So that's what one's trying to do. So this idea is that, oh no, we don't worry about these things. That's the natural position. So the lifestyle and goodness, that's what the devotee is attracted to. Right? Non-devotees, then they're attracted to however the modes are according to their karma. So again, that's why we don't identify with those. We identify as a devotee, and therefore devotees function in goodness with the idea of coming to pure goodness. Right? So one practices goodness, giving up passion, ignorance, that will bring you into pure goodness. Right? Yeah. Here the word mad ashraya is very significant. Because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra, the demigods might naturally have been envious of him and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Bali Maharaj that he would always remain under the Lord's protection. Madashrayaha. Right, so be under. So these ones that are there, they'll go their term, he'll be the next one. Then he'll have a whole new set of demigods, they won't be envious and everything. So he'll protect them in this time. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of King Indra, he shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishwakarma according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now live there peacefully. Right? So he told before, and just, you know, because he didn't want the Lord disturbed, and his associates, therefore he told his you know demon friends to go down to the lower planets. But now we see is that the Lord has, in ordering him to go down to hell, he's made it very nice. Right? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, Sutala has been specially constructed by Vishvakarma with superiority to Amaravati. By the will of the Lord, at that moment, Sutala became greater than Svarga. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, Vishvakarma is the engineer or architect for the palatial buildings in the heavenly planets. Therefore, since he was engaged to construct the residential quarters of Bali Maharaj, the buildings and palaces on the planet of Sutala must at least equal those on the heavenly planets. A further advantage of this place designed for Bali Maharaj was that he would not be disturbed by any outward calamity. Moreover, he would not be disturbed by mental or bodily miseries. These are all extraordinary features of the planet Sutala, where Bali Maharaj would live. Right? The demigods try for that. The demons try for that. None of them get that. So Bali Maharaj, simply by his surrender to the Lord, he has all that.
Maharaj,
yes.
There was a situation when Ravan goes there, and he could not even enter. But the same Ravan, he has already conquered the heavenly kings.
That's true. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, because he couldn't get by Vamanadev, right? Yeah. Can you imagine that? Ravana comes, big, big guy, and this little midget, you know, stops him at the door. Like that. You know, that's gonna be a problem, right?
Ravana always gets those monkeys. And
yeah. Little guys. Yeah, you can see how Krishna's, you know, chipping away at his false ego, right? You know, because here he's conquered everything, so powerful. But also, even with Bali, he came because he knew Bali was very powerful. And that he wanted to get him to be an ally. And like that, so he comes up. But Bali had a sadhana that he would worship the four oceans. And he would go from one ocean to the other by jumping. And then do the puja at the next one, then jump, and then be at the next. So in one jump, he would go from one ocean to the other. And so he was there. Ravana approached him because he was doing puja. He didn't want to talk. But, you know, Ravana's, you know, he wants to get his work done. Like that. So he just caught him with his tail and wrapped him up with his tail. Did his puja, then jumps to the next place with Ravana in his tail. And after doing his puja, then he talks to him. Like that. Yeah, Ravana had a tough time with all these out of the ordinary personalities. In the Vedic literatures, we find descriptions of many different planets where there are many, many palaces, hundreds and thousands of times better than those of which we have experienced on this planet Earth. When we speak of palaces, this naturally includes the idea of great cities and towns. Right? Because you have palaces, and then there's the cities and towns. Like one of Krishna's palaces, each palace in Dwarka for one queen had its own lakes. You know, we're not talking about little, you know, you get out that, you know, get out the, you know, get out the box and get the thing, blow it up, you know, put a few buckets of water in it, and like that, put in a few rubber ducks and hurry, bow. You know, lakes. So what does that mean? The lakes, the gardens, the groves, and that's one palace. There's 16,108 of those. Right? So, yeah. So you have palaces, and then there's the city. So it's not just he has his palace. There's the whole city's there. So it's, yeah. This naturally includes, of great cities. Unfortunately, when modern scientists try to explore other planets, they see nothing but rocks and sand. Yes. Of course, they may go on their frivolous excursions, but the students of the Vedic literature will never believe them or give them any credit for exploring other planets. Right? What to do? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that so far the Lord was speaking to Brahma. Now he speaks directly to Bali Maharaj, because Brahma made the point that, you know, he's being punished so much and all that. You know, we feel that, you know, he should be released. And so then Vamanadeva explains why he was doing that and showing his greatness as a devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, right? They get their place back and find out, wait a minute. It got even better, you know? So that's. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. Srila Prabhupada comments. Bali Maharaj was transferred from the heavenly planet to the planet Sutala, which is hundreds of times better than heaven, as indicated by the words Swargi Bihi Pratyam. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead deprives his devotee of material opulences, this does not mean that the Lord puts him into poverty. Rather, the Lord promotes him to a higher position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not ask Bali Maharaj to separate from his family. Instead, the Lord allowed him to stay with his family members. Gyati Bihi Pari Varitaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead concluded, on the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects, along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Right? So if they're surrendered to him, then they're protected by the Lord also, because they're serving a pure devotee. They may or may not understand the Lord, but that's not an unnatural position. But if they transgress his rule, then they're opposed to the Lord and opposed to his devotee, and being opposed to the devotee is even worse, so then his Sudarshan will take care of them. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there, because there you will see my supreme prowess. Your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Dhanavas will immediately be vanquished. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, you will not have pain of separation from me. I will always be near you. Do not fear bad association. By association with a devotee like you, the demons will become devotees. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, the Lord assured Bali Maharaj of all protection, and finally the Lord assured him of protection from the effects of bad association with the demons. Not only so, he's protected from bad association, they'll become devotees. Bali Maharaj certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious because his association was not purely devotional. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore assured him that his demoniac mentality would be annihilated. In other words, by the association of devotees, the demoniac mentality is vanquished. Satam prasangan mamavirya samdido bhavanti hrid karna rasayana karta. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. When a demon associates with devotees, engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gradually becomes a pure devotee. Conclusion. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact. Whether he cheats or rewards, he is always good. Particular. Right? So this is the point. No matter what he does, it's for the benefit. Because the so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee. But even some demons who are not at all devotees, merely enemies of the Lord, attain the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Then a doubt. But it is always a fact that a living being's loss of all opulence... Oh. But is it always a fact that a living being's loss of all opulence is a sign of the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. The Lord can act any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence, he may not. When in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud, this means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. The conclusion is that one being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. Devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, Sudama Vipra, who are given unlimited material opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not the opulence it's their position where they won't be disturbed by it. Right? Because there's materialists who, by following properly karma, get so much opulence. But it's to be not disturbed by that, not to become proud, to be able to see everything in connection with the Lord. That's the real special mercy. Right? And then they have the opulence along with it, just because since they can engage everything in Krishna's service, they get everything to engage in Krishna's service. So, a pure devotee never complains against the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described by Bali Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was actually not the enemy of the family, but the best friend of the family. The principle of this friendship has already been stated. Yasyaham anu grinami harishye tad dhanam shanahi. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8. The Lord bestows special favor upon his devotee by taking away all his material opulences. Bali Maharaj appreciated this behavior by the Lord. Material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not the fact, right? So he sees Indra has that problem. Bali Maharaj could appreciate that, so he didn't mind that the Lord took everything away. Yes?
We see among the devotees, usually, you know, out loud, the devotees say it's Mahaprabhu's mercy, Guru's mercy, and like that. Although thinking inside, you know, it's also my glory. Or then the next level could be that, you know, when those thoughts, it's my glory, then we just check them. So is this is like a natural progression of how we deal with the pride? Because somehow it always tries to pops up.
Yes, yes. No, because that's... because of the basic principle, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So then if there's so much facility is there, that means then you have control. And then naturally, if you have control, you can enjoy. So that will be what pops up. So we, by sadhana, then we try to catch that, try to correct that. But we'll see with time, then if we're interested not in that, but in pure devotional service and in pleasing the Lord, then at some point the Lord will give that blessings that we won't become disturbed by it. So that will be the real mercy. So either having, gaining things, losing things, these aren't the thing. It's that the Lord gives one the ability to not be affected by it. Because if I'm affected by, let's say, wealth, then the thing is then what dharma am I interested in? Right? The dharma of wealth. Though I'm following that dharma connected to Krishna, so is properly, you know, engaged. So all occupational duties should, you know, finish in the Lord or be, you know, have their culmination in the Lord. So I'm doing that. But the interest for me is on that aspect of dharma, meaning the economic dharma. And so, but I'm connecting it to Krishna, so it's devotional service. But it has to come to the point where it's Krishna who's of interest. And so if you have wealth, you use that. If you have power, you use that. You have whatever it is you use. But it's about the dharma of serving Krishna. So at some point, that switch being made, that's the special mercy of the Lord. So that we see is that in that fullest form, because we see is that if we get ourselves from the neophyte platform, the Madhyama platform, by our endeavors, we make progress. Of course, the Lord's mercy, but we're making that endeavor. But there's no endeavor you can make to get yourself from the Madhyama to the Uttama platform. That's simply the Lord's mercy. So it is just based on our desire to please Krishna in that way. That's all. It's not an activity we can do. Yeah. So that point, so we see is that's the special mercy. So it's mercy that we're advanced, but it's special mercy when we go across into there. So, okay. Material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Right? So, therefore, it's based on the Lord's mercy. Therefore, those positions must be seen in relationship to that. So what would that mean? Someone who has some position, has some authority, has some facility, and then if that's taken away, then we shouldn't be like the dogs who, as soon as there's some weakness, then immediately start barking and chasing. Right? So it's got to be the Lord's involved here. So what's the best thing for the Krishna consciousness of this individual, our position and everything like that? Does that make sense?
Maharaj?
Yes.
If one has wealth, then he is proud, the Lord withdraws the wealth. Can the same principle be applied when a particular devotee, you know, let's say is a big preacher or a big fund collector? So many different services.
Anything. It can be anything. Mm-hmm. Because what will be... The point is that position of... influence of authority can be taken away, just like what was mentioned here. Where was that? That was where we started. Yes, where we started. So then, born in an aristocratic family, right? So then, because of that, we can use that as an identity. You know what I'm saying? Just like we see what we were saying within Christianity. Then Paul, because he was from a aristocratic family, he was proud of that and wanted to adjust Judaism or Christianity to fit his family position. You understand? So that can come up. Or a higher status of life, he performs wonderful activities, he does something special, like you said, big collections, some big priest, something, so he becomes proud of that. If he is youthful, you know, so there's always energy, there's always, you know, one's proud of that. If he has personal beauty, so there's an attractiveness, a good education and good wealth. You know, if he is nonetheless, but if he's not proud of these things, then these things don't need to be adjusted. But if there's pride, then they need to be adjusted so that one will lose that pride and then start to see things in the way of actual Krishna consciousness.
Even when one is proud in different services one executes, you know, in devotion.
But what is one proud of?
So that is just because of misidentification, right?
Yes, that was the word that wasn't used. What was the word used? Miss something. Yeah, but yes, misidentification. See, the one's proud to be, you know, part of this great preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya that, you know, we're so, you know, that aspect, that's not a problem. Because we're proud of the mission, we're proud of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we're proud of that, we're not proud of something we've done. You know, if we're proud that I'm a devotee, then you got a problem. But if we're proud to be part of this, you know what I'm saying? That's another thing. So that's not a problem. Well, misunderstanding. Probably that's what it is. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding. Because the misunderstanding, because all those abilities, everything, that wealth, the position, power, that all comes from Krishna. It's all His. We're simply taking part in it. So if we use it in Krishna's service, there's no need for adjustment. But if there's not, then there's adjustment to remove the misunderstanding. The Lord showing special mercy sometimes takes away His material possessions. Right? So that's from the 8th, 11th, 16th, and 25th purport. So that's the Upanaya. Right? That brings us near to understanding how Krishna is good all the time. Hence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulences achieved because of devotional service. Although He sometimes takes away opulences achieved by pious activities, He does this to make a devotee prideless or to put him in a better position in devotional service. Right? So, therefore, then we didn't have to make Bali Maharaj prideless, though the discussion was that he was proud and he was this and that. That was where he was mixing the Dharma and Adharma, just to prove the point of how great he is, like that. But he was taking him and putting him in a better position. He's taken Indra's spot, but actually he was going to give him a better spot than that. Okay. Is that, yeah, good? Okay, chapter 23. The demigods regain the heavenly planets. Pratigya. One who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is favored by the Lord, regardless of whether such a person is a demon or a demigod. Because the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The king or government is equal to all citizens. Therefore, if a citizen capable of receiving special favors from the government is offered such favors, this does not mean that the government is partial. There are two classes of men, the demigods and the demons. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposely defy his authority. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living being. But otherwise, he is equal to everyone. Hence, like a desire tree, the Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take such shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. Right? Makes sense. So he's equal to everyone, but according to how they deal with him, that's how he reciprocates. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Bali Marj, along with his grandfather Pallad Marj, entered the planet Sutala, and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead allowed Indra to re-enter the heavenly planets. The great soul Bali Marj experienced that the highest gain in life is to attain devotional service under the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet in full surrender. Being fixed in this conclusion, his heart full of ecstatic devotion and his eyes full of tears, he offered obeisances to the Personality of Godhead and then, with his associates, entered the planet known as Sutala. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfied the desire of Aditi and reinstalled Lord Indra. Pallad Marj, being aware of Bali's release from arrest, then described the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. Pallad Marj praised the Supreme Lord for creating the material world, for being equal to everyone, and for being extremely liberal to the devotees, just like a desire tree. Indeed, Pallad Marj said that the Lord is kind not only to his devotees, but also to the demons. In this way, he described the unlimited causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, with folded hands, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the Lord, and after circumambiating the Lord, he also entered the planet Sutala in accordance with the Lord's order. So is that where, when they visited Pallad Marj, they went to Sutala? Hmm? Oh. Remember when Gopakumar?
Yeah.
Or Narad Muni, where is this?
Yeah, yeah.
They visited on Sutala. Narad Muni is of Sutala.
Yeah.
Okay. So he and Bali Marj both lived there. Okay.
Means Pallad Marj lived there before then?
That I don't know, but he lives there now.
But it appears that they came together after this, the whole thing happened. They went together.
Where was
to Sutala? To Sutala, yes, yes. So she was asking if before this incident, when Pallad Marj appeared during the pastime, did he come from Sutala at that time? That I don't know.
And where did Bali Marj live before he entered the heavenly planet?
That I'm not sure. But in any case, even if he was on Sutala, it's the new and improved Sutala.
Renovated.
Yes, the new Vaikuntha Sutala. So.
And what happened to the Sutala Vasis?
That I'm not sure.
They got upgraded,
or they bust them to other talas. The Lord then orders Sukracharya to describe Bali Marj's faults and discrepancies in executing the sacrificial ceremony. Sukracharya became free from fruit of action by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he explained how chanting can diminish all the faults of the conditioned soul. He then completed Bali Marj's sacrificial ceremony. All the great saintly persons accepted Lord Vamanadeva as the benefactor of Lord Indra because he had returned Indra to his heavenly planet. They accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the maintainer of all the affairs of the universe. Being very happy, Indra, along with his associates, placed Vamanadeva before him and re-entered the heavenly planet in their airplane. Having seen the wonderful activities of Lord Vishnu in the sacrificial arena of Bali Marj, all the demigods, saintly persons, pitas, bhutas, and siddhas glorified the Lord again and again. The chapter concludes by saying that the most auspicious function of the conditioned soul is to chant and hear about the glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 12. Accompanied by Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj enters Sutala. 13 to 18. Sukracharya compensates the discrepancies in Bali Maharaj's sacrifice. 19 to 31. Indra reinstated as the king of heaven. Verses 1 to 12. Accompanied by Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj enters Sutala. Sugadeva Goswami said, when the supreme, ancient, eternal personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, who is universally accepted as a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore a great soul, Bali Maharaj, his eyes filled with tears, his hands folded, and his voice faltering in devotional ecstasy, responded as follows. Bali Maharaj said, what a wonderful effect there is in even attempting to offer respectful obeisances to you. I merely endeavored to offer you obeisances, but nonetheless the attempt was as successful as those of pure devotees. The causeless mercy you have shown to me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of the various planets. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, even having eagerness to offer you respects is able to produce results desired by the surrendered devotees. I have understood this today. Right, so even having eagerness, that's the whole point, is that we have that eagerness, right? That's what the acharyas talk about, that lalyam, that desire, you know, or that greed for being absorbed in devotional service. That's what we're trying to gain, right? If that's there, then everything becomes nice, because that's what will bring us to this topmost platform. Because the techniques and all those things like that, those are only ways to express the eagerness. But it's the eagerness itself that we gain. So we're performing devotional service with this eagerness. So the forms we're using, that's not the main point. Right? We're using authorized, so of course they're proper. But the real point is the attitude of that eagerness. That's what brings us to this position. So that's what he's pointing. Even having eagerness to offer you respects is able to produce results desired by the surrendered devotees. So that's the key that we're seeing here with Bali Maharaj. So now we're going beyond, because we're used to, no, I perform an action, that action gets results, therefore that's why things are going on. But actually it's the attitude in which it's being performed is actually the more important thing. Right? That doesn't change. It means we have to be able to get beyond the tendency to therefore use the activity or change the activity whatever we like because it doesn't matter. No. We're following what is recommended, what is authorized, but it's with the enthusiasm to please the Lord. That enthusiasm, that eagerness, that's then what is the driving force. That's what attracts the Lord. That's what we have to try to catch. And give up this attachment to other dharmas other than the Lord. Because this, we're meaning sarva dharmam, you're giving up the attachment to all other dharmas and only maintaining attachment to the dharma of serving Krishna. Is that... Yeah. I have understood this today, right? Because he was a devotee before, but now he's understood this point. My guru said that Vishnu has come to take away everything I possess. When I learned this from my guru, I was eager to offer you respects, but did not out of fear of guru and the demons. But that eagerness has given such results now. Right? So he had that eagerness even though he wasn't able to do. What is that? Mercy in the form of getting your foot on my head, which is not attained even by the devatas in Sattva-guna, was attained by me, a low rascal, in Raja-guna. Because right? He's one of the daityas, so the daityas, their situation is they're situated in passion. Right? Makes sense? Yes.
Right, so we cultivate this eagerness, and then when the opportunity comes, then we're able to express that eagerness.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's just an internal thing.
Yes, but we're trying to, that eagerness, we're trying to express it through all the services that we do. You know, that eagerness to please the Lord, that eagerness to be absorbed in the Lord's service. But when it will be able to be expressed nicely, then that's like you said. But that is there. But that's what's not seen. So the Lord could see that. Prahlad Maharaj can see that. Right? But others, they were looking at the external forms.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's why the advanced levels of devotional service aren't a change in what you're doing. It's the it's the absorption in that eagerness. That's the acharyas, when they, that's what they talk about. Spontaneous devotional service means that eagerness.
Because we see there's an eagerness, but it's not stable eagerness. So sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Yes.
So like that. So we can't really call it eagerness unless
it's stable. Yes, that's why whenever you're dealing with anything, it'll always go through those six stages of anartha nivritti. So when it's there, but it's just that beginning enthusiasm, then that's nice. And it gives, and one advances nicely, one gets great taste from that. But then it goes into the point where thick, thin. You know, sometimes there, sometimes not. Then it'll go into trying to rationalize that, well, you know, according to Shastra, I could do like this, or I could do like that, or, you know, all the different ways to rationalize our attachments to the various kinds of dharmas. Then it comes to the point where, no, I'm just going to, you know, be focused on Krishna. Then it comes to the point of, okay, you're focused on Krishna, but your ability to perform the activities isn't very great. Right? Then it comes to the point where facilities are there, will you become distracted and become proud, thinking these are mine or I'm something special. And then if one gets beyond that, that's by Krishna's mercy, then one becomes steady. And that attracts the Lord. So when one comes to that point of that steadiness, even though that steadiness is given by the Lord's mercy, what's the special mercy is that position will attract the Lord. Does that make sense? So we see is that this is just the process, this is the Vedic process. So you can say is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the essence out of the Vedic process. It's not that, oh, we're doing one thing and the Vedic is something totally different. No, this is the essence of the Vedic. Because the Veda is coming from Krishna. You know, as it's mentioned, it's his throat is the Vedas. You know, like that. So, and Krishna always follows the Vedas. So then that's the position. You know, just how he'll follow it. Like all the things he pronounced were all correct, but whether they were Dharma or they were Upadharma, you know, whether they were Dharma, Artha, Niti, you know, like that, how he's applying, because he's trying to get a specific effect. So sometimes they were Niti, so technically they were opposed to Dharma, because they were just trying to get something accomplished. But it's always according to Shastra. Krishna never acts outside of that. So the point is that, therefore, the essence of that is how to please Krishna with that. Since the Shastra is about how to please Krishna, the whole material world is created to give us an opportunity to serve Krishna, because it's all for Krishna. But we have the misunderstanding that we'll use it for ourselves. That's the weakness. Okay. Shloka Anushasana. Oh, no, we started that. Now we're already down here. We have the eagerness. Oh, Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Oh, you have one. It's a good thing you have one, see?
Yeah.
Imagine what we were reading before anybody had this, right? You know, for so many days I was just reading anywhere. Okay, Srila Prabhupada elaborates. When Vamanadev appeared before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances. But he was unable to do so because of the presence of Sukracharya and other demoniac associates. Right? So it's not that you don't want to. He's not saying, oh, you know, we're here and we don't want to disturb them and so like this and so we'll, so therefore I don't have to. Right? That's the modern approach. You know, we're just, you know, taking that, you know, that balanced kind of thing. We're not overdoing it. We're not disturbing anybody. No, he was eager too, but because the situation didn't allow, he didn't offer obeisances, but he wanted to. So this idea is, oh, you don't have to, and then that becomes your eagerness, that I don't have to follow. Then that's kind of going the opposite direction of what is recommended. Right? So as the Mahajan, Bali Maharaj is setting the example, then we shouldn't be going the opposite direction. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
But it also goes the way that, at least I hear that a lot, I really want to do it, but I can't. And it always...
No, but that means I can't.
I can't, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we maintain that eagerness, then at some point we'll be able to. But if we think I can't, and then we drop that eagerness, then it won't happen.
But is there an eagerness as such? If it just, it's not like him, but I just want to do it.
It's an eagerness based on understanding. So it's gyan. His eagerness is vigyan. So in other words, this is a practice that he wants to follow. But it's the situation is such that he can't do that because it'll just disturb everybody. Right? You know, it's just like in the airport, we don't necessarily offer obeisances. Right? We would like to, but you know, it creates a whole scene there. Right? And then so therefore one doesn't, but then when the opportunity is there, then one does. But then some will, because we don't have to there, then we never have to. You know, or, you know, we don't wash our feet and that while we're in the airport bathroom, so when we go home, we don't either. You know, that kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about.
No, but what I was also talking about, like, some devotees say, I would love to go to that class, but they never show up.
Yes. So if they keep that interest now and again, eventually then that Sukriti will build where one day they will be able to. But that, you know, then you just want to make sure that one day is within this lifetime. But in any case, even if it's whatever, it's about Krishna, so it's always perfect. But the idea is, if we cultivate, that's why the term cultivation is there. That's why we don't mind the term cult. You know, people like to give words, you know, it's like there's a saying, give a dog a bad name and then hang him. So they give a word a bad name, and then, oh, you can't use that word. But who said you can't use the word? You know, did the dictionary say you can't use the word? Like that, you know. So the point is that if we have that idea that we want to and cultivate that, then gradually we'll come to the ability to be able to do that. You know? So that's there. So even if it's just an understanding, there's a desire. But if we contemplate, the desire becomes a need. When it's a need, that's when we make the endeavor. So it just means they would like to, but they don't contemplate it that much that it becomes a necessity, like that. The Lord is so merciful, however, that although Bali Maharaj did not actually offer obeisances, but only endeavored to do so within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods could ever expect. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40, Swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhavagrahi, Janardana, because he takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. The devotee sincerely surrenders the Lord as the Supersoul in everyone's heart, immediately understands this. Thus, even though externally a devotee may not render full service, if he is internally sincere and serious, the Lord welcomes his service nonetheless. Thus, the Lord is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana, because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. So, yes, that's an important point we have to see like that. So, that's what we should do. We see like that, but the individual, he shouldn't take it like that. He himself should be trying to do something more. Because otherwise you see, why don't you try hard? No, but Krishna, he just sees what's in the heart. He understands the essence. You know, no, you're supposed to say that about others, not yourself. You know, like that. That's when it's a problem.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Like sometimes we have this intense desire, and at one point of time Krishna gives you an opportunity to go ahead with that, like to fructify. At that time we get some confidence, which is like, you know, which is very intense. So at that time, the considerations, the other devotees, there are senior devotees, somebody, they may not like be able to.
But that's why it says here. Then Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer, but he was unable to do so because of the presence of Sukracharya. You know, so you have to apply it in the circumstance you're in. So you might want to do so many things, but you can't, so therefore you... So that's etiquette's there. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so stop. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.